welcome to the Hardware Show, episode 4 or 3, depending on whether you're counting from 0, like the archives do, or whether you're counting
from 1, like
as we do when we actually talk about the show.
Yeah.
I am Electric Turtle, and
I'm the Saint.
Yeah, and we are here to talk again about hardware, and my God, do we have a lot of topics this week.
We do.
There was this news explosion on Friday. I like doubled my topic list on Friday alone. It was insane.
That's why I didn't get it to Saturday, huh?
Yeah, that, and I was busy with the girlfriend time. Anyway, so, in no particular order, start out with the fact that Fujitsu has implemented a vein...
The most awesome thing ever!
Okay. A vein reading biometric security system, where you put your hand over a sensor and it reads
the
veins.
Note the word over. You don't have to touch anything.
Yes.
It just, like, scans your palm and it's like...
In the air.
In the air. And it's like, yo, you're this person.
Yes. Which is completely awesome, because I don't know how you could fool something like that.
Yeah, I mean, even I can think up ways to, like, fool, you know, fingerprinting type techniques.
Well.
But, I mean, this is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Of course there's a way to fool it, but it's
be.
The technology isn't available to
the majority
anyone.
Of people yet.
Yeah.
Some, maybe, like, the CIA could do it.
Maybe.
In their wildest dreams with a whole lot of money. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm just really glad to see this.
I mean, this is something I would trust on my home.
Yeah.
I mean, current fingerprinting technology, I would not put on my home.
No.
And what's even stupider is the number pad things. It's like,
yeah,
anyone can shoulder surf. Not everyone can, like, duplicate or pick a lock.
Yes. And certainly, practically no one can magically duplicate a vein pattern in someone's hand.
I mean, right.
That's a good point, though, about using it on more than just, you know, large-scale campuses.
I mean, as the technology becomes cheaper.
Put it in cars.
Yeah.
It's like, hold up your hand to your car door.
Well,
and
just put it on the shifter. I mean, just set your hand down on the shifter and it scans your palm.
I don't know. That'd be kind of annoying. I mean, especially if it was persistent and all of a sudden it fucks up at 60 miles an hour and then you're back in first or something. That could be bad. But yeah, on the door. Maybe, yeah, for the ignition and stuff.
Yeah. I would like it for the ignition. But yeah, this thing's awesome, and
yes,
and go Japan for having it first, and
go Japan,
and Tokyo.
For once, Japan does not need to be stopped.
Yes. So next topic.
This is a topic very dear to my heart. I mean, when I saw this on Friday, I immediately called a couple people to.
You didn't call me.
Well, I didn't call you because I don't know. I called Jessica. Anyway, Intel.
I bet she was like, what's hyper-threading?
She's not that bad. Some guy named Colin Percival discovered that
has way too much time.
Way too much time. He worked on this for like 3 months as though it were his job. Anyway, he discovered that you could exploit Intel's hyper-threading technology to use one thread to look at another thread, which could read encryption keys and whatnot.
Well, basically anything that's passing through the processor.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I'm keylogging now. Any process that gets processed, give me the information for.
Yeah.
And, well, I suppose the good news is that people that don't use multi-user operating systems aren't really truly affected
yeah,
by it, because they don't have another person on their system to listen to what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, 90% of the people using hyper-threading, probably.
But at the same time, all the multi-user servers in the world use Intel are suddenly fucked.
Yeah. also along with the fact totally that, awesome, by the way. You know, eventually I think computers are going to get more multi-user based anyway. So, yeah, this is really a bad thing.
For Intel.
Yeah, way to go. X86 Intel architecture hyper-threading.
I was reading Slashdot, and one of the comments, the pithiest, was the most awesome. Whoosh! What's that sound? That's the sound of Intel server market going out the window at Mach 10. But I am really looking forward to see how this impacts the industry, because this is the perfect storm for seeing Intel lose market share to AMD, because AMD just rolled out with their dual cores, which are a whole hell of a lot faster than Intel's dual cores, and now Intel is losing face to its corporate clients as being less secure. And AMD's like, we don't have this problem.
Along with the U.S. government saying, hey, you can now buy anything.
What do you mean?
Well, recently, I guess there was some sort of thing where
diversity in purchasing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone has the option of buying what they want now. Intel is looking really bad.
It's totally awesome. And I actually have a bet with one of the founders of Wiggle.net. I was talking to him in IRC. He's like, oh no, this isn't going to affect market share at all. So, if market share is significantly affected, I would say after this date, I'm not going to tie it to this specific thing because there's no way to really track that in people's minds. If market share falls from now, let's say, and as a general trend in the next year, then this guy owes me drinks at DEF CON 14. We have agreed on this, and of course, the vice versa. So I'm looking forward to that, because there is no way that something like this is going to have zero effect.
This is really an exciting time to live in, because, I mean, it's like the fall of Intel. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is slowly falling to Linux, especially in the server market, so, I mean, dude, it's like the changeover.
It's good.
Finally, the dark side is getting its ass beaten.
What's sad is that the guy who did all this research was unemployed, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, companies don't recognize talent anymore. I mean, this guy's obviously a fucking genius, and no one
gives
him the time of day until now. Now he's going to get some huge, beefy job because he's proved that he is...
Well, for the next 2 years, and then he'll be forgotten again.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
In other security news, on the software side, there was a flaw discovered in IPsec.
Yeah.
Which is basically going to make VPNs a little less secure than they used to be.
It's kind of interesting, because basically the way this security flaw works is it's by fooling the two computers into swapping data without encrypting it.
Yes.
So it's like you have to break into the stream, send some garbage to the one side to tell it to stop the encryption, and then you can start capturing packets. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know. It doesn't seem all that effective.
Well,
For, like, you know, hardcore VPNs that are being used constantly for big businesses or something.
What about Microsoft? I mean, their wireless network, I mean, they basically rely on VPN as their major, you know, security element.
This is true.
That could be a major liability for them. Mm.
Of course, you know, Microsoft has eyes everywhere.
You get around their
campus, and
you get within
like...
2 miles of that place, and they have your license number and your blood type.
Yeah.
So
they're paranoid.
With good reason.
Yeah. But they are Microsoft, after all. Speaking of Microsoft,
and another totally non-contrived segue that just happened to be ordered this way.
We're awesome at that.
Yeah. They're, of course, going to be releasing commercial antivirus, anti-spyware, two-way firewall. Annual subscription.
Yeah. Blah.
No doubt there'll be some kind of free version in their operating system, and the federal government will get all pissy.
I don't know. I mean, okay. Does this make sense?
Okay.
Microsoft creates an operating system that has inherent security flaws. Uh-huh. You're going to trust the same company to stop their own security flaws?
Well, I don't think this is about their security flaws per se. I mean, the viruses are...
It's a firewall.
Well, okay, the firewall is part of it. It's like part three.
It's anti-spyware, which is also exploiting security flaws.
Actually, no. Spyware is...
Yes, it does.
No.
Spyware developers actually, you know, look into the code and figure out new ways. There's actually new spyware that they're working on.
True,
That will use rootkits on the freaking operating system.
But the whole point of spyware is tricking the user into allowing the software to do what it wants.
I mean, well, that isn't hard.
I know it isn't. I know that no one reads the EULA, and that's how spyware spreads to everyone and their dog. But the point is that's not really a security flaw. That is, a PEBCAC.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think if
it's not Microsoft's fault that someone says yes to a EULA.
True. So. I'll agree with you.
Okay.
However, the extent and in which a piece of software can take over the entire operating system
is made worse by its security flaws.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, dead air.
Dead air.
Which will be good because I can take out noise with the dead air.
Anyway, you're doing that deliberately, aren't you?
No. It's just handy. Our first recording had like almost no dead air, so I had trouble taking out the noise.
We got kind of hyper in episode one. Anyway, so
Microsoft doing this is scary.
Yeah, I think that Symantec needs a little bit more competition though, because right now they fight themselves. It's like we own McAfee, we own Norton. We'll let them fight each other and take the profits from both.
Yeah.
It's kind of the dumbest duopoly ever. the duopolistic monopoly on antivirus. So, I'm really...
Well, there is that free one that I occasionally use on people's systems.
Which one was that again?
The product's called AVG.
Oh, yeah.
There
are others, like, what is it, Nod 32 or something, or other...
No, I'm going really to pimp this one. real quick, because this is the most awesome antivirus software out there, because it's free and the database is free, so you don't have to pay a subscription to get the stupid database. The product's called AVG Antivirus, and it's made by Grisoft, G-R-I-S-O-F-T, and you can find that at grisoft.com. And, yeah, if you're looking for a free antivirus thing for Windows, grab that one, because it's free and awesome. Okay. And it's like old-school antivirus, where it doesn't try to take over your whole system.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway. Another, going back to Japan.
Yeah, I saw this on Gizmodo, that some company called Macrocom has come up with this all-in-one phone, TV, computer thing that does everything.
Everything and its dog.
Yes, indeed. It's supposed to do voice over IP, play DVDs, has USB 2.0 ports, has a touch screen, built-in keyboard, does...
Which is impressive in itself that they put a touchscreen and keyboard.
Yes, it's awesome. And it has IP TV, HD TV, etc., and it's supposed to cost $850.
Under $1,000.
Which means that in executive class hotels...
That would be awesome.
It's going in. You know that there's going to be a huge market for this. And the Japanese are going to just love this to death.
Yeah.
They are going to want one in their houses. I mean, it's like the Navi from Lane.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's small and does everything.
It doesn't talk, though.
Yet.
Yet. I suppose that could be implemented. I guess
you can implement that with just software.
Yeah. I read something where it's supposed to dual boot.
Yes.
Is that actually going to
Windows and Linux.
Ship that way?
It was listed in the press release as a feature.
Huh. It seems weird to me.
I don't know. it's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to be interested to see whether this takes over the market by storm.
Well, I can see it being huge in hotels or any place where you want to. I can even see this in airports as a pay service.
True.
You can like you use this thing. You know, watch the news for half an hour or something.
Yeah, while you're waiting for your plane, especially now that you can't predict, you know, how long it's going to take to get through security. You get there an hour and have to wait around. You can have, you know, you used to have, you know, those chairs with the TVs and the armrests and things. It's really gay things. You put this in an armrest and, Jesus, watch the money roll in. Because you could charge a lot for this.
Yeah.
And it plays fucking DVDs. Anyway, in other...
Dude, we're going to talk about Dell.
Oh, God. Are you like the official intro guy now? God.
I feel like it this episode.
Okay.
Seems how you stated that you were not into the energy.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of lazy. Yes, Dell has announced somewhere that they intend to release a 19-inch LCD laptop.
Yeah, which I really wish that link that you had pictures.
I wish too. That's like the only thing I could find on it.
Yeah.
And it anyway, I would really hope that whatever Taiwanese ODM is putting this together for Dell releases a white box for this version of this laptop, because I think that 19-inch LCDs would be great. I mean, my CRT is 19-inch, and if I could have that in an LCD and carry it around with me, that would be totally awesome, because you could do 1600 resolution and stuff and not have to use these 1024 wallpapers all the time, which I'm getting tired of.
Yeah.
And look at the size of my goddamn icons. I had to make my icons smaller to fit on this dumb, stupid, small screen.
So. Yeah, I have a similar problem on my Mac, but I kind of like living with it because I like small laptops.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what I really, really want is three-dimensional projection screens. So it's like I carry around this little tiny box the size of a keyboard, and it just goes whoosh and projects up into thin air.
You know, I agree. But until we have that, you know, what is it, like 10 years in the future or more at best?
I think the point of a laptop is it for it to be portable, and then 19-inch is more like a luggable than portable.
Piss off. Because I'm so sick of people like, oh no, this laptop is too big or too heavy. Fuck. Back in the day, back in the early 90s, we had things that were the size of huge luggage suitcases.
It was like carrying around a tuba.
Yes. And everyone has been spoiled by these, you know, 12-inch the half-inch thick laptop things, and you can carry around something that's 19 inches diagonal.
But it's still big. You gotta admit that it's big.
Yes, it's big, and you know what? I don't care. I carried around a laptop that was even heavier and bulkier when I had that ECS desk note thing.
Oh, God.
It has a huge external battery, and it didn't have PCMCIA, so I had to,
have USB.
USB everything.
Uh-huh.
And I had, like, a wireless mouse, and, you know, it didn't have internal wireless, so I had
a
wireless
USB thing.
It took
you, like, 15 minutes to
set
that thing up.
I Velcroed everything to the back, and it was frickin' huge thick anyway, because it had a desktop processor in it with an aluminum heatsink, so I think it was frickin' huge.
Yeah.
It even had desktop RAM in it.
Yeah. It melted chocolate once.
Yes, it did.
He had it like at my house, and I had like this brick of white chocolate on my desk, and he set his laptop down, and we didn't notice the chocolate behind it.
It
liquefied the chocolate because it was so hot from the desktop processor.
I measured the temperature of the exhaust from the two fans, and it could get up to 140 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah.
It
was awesome in an intimidating sort of way.
But the thing
had to weigh like 15 pounds or something with the external battery and all that shit on it. So, you know what? Quit your bitching. If they make a 19-inch laptop, you know what? that weighs less than 15 pounds, if you get a
Dell, we will totally have to constantly make fun of each other's laptops.
Oh, God.
It's like, you have an Apple. Well, you have a Dell.
I didn't think of that problem. That would be a problem.
Yeah.
Which is why I want to have it a white box. Yeah. So it doesn't say Dell on it. I can say, I bought it from XODM. It's an XODM. It's not a Dell. I didn't buy it. Dell's a, you know, a whore. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
So, you know, it'd be really nice if we could power the 19-inch with something that didn't need recharging every 5 minutes.
Well, that brings us to our next topic. God, this is so cheesy. We have got to cut... This is just bad. Yeah. The nuclear batteries.
Actually, I should write a Python script that we stick all these topics and then we hit next and it brings up the next topic randomly.
That would be interesting.
It's like random topics, so we don't have these really cheesy segues.
Anyway. So there's nuclear battery technology, which will produce power for decades. And this is intended to be used... I think more like in medical stuff.
Well, right.
But, you know, people need to get over being afraid of radiation, because if you can contain it properly, it would be a better power source for everything.
I think that's the problem, is no one's figured out how to contain it properly.
I mean,
if you look over the course of history... Mm-hmm. No one has figured out how to contain radiation properly. It always leaks. I mean, that's why tons of nuclear power plants are shut down across the country.
They're not shut down.
They leak.
Huh. There's not like
we have one in our own state that's shut down, and the waste is still in it, degrading in barrels because they can't figure out how to move it.
I don't. So, Hanford has problems more because they're not meeting their own safety standards and, you know, they're kind of underfunded.
Yeah, but anyway, I agree that if... I don't know. I want cold fusion, damn it.
I do, too.
I want cold fusion so bad.
It's not happening. And people...
No one cares, and everyone's like, woo, hydrogen!
Oh, God. Fuel cells are such a dumb idea.
Let's switch everything over to electricity and then power it with this
thing that you have to replace constantly.
Uh-huh.
That's just dumb. I mean, at least with lithium ion, you know, you don't replace anything. You just put more power into it, then you draw it out again. But with fuel cells, you have to put one in, run it down, take it out, put a new one in, run it down, take it out. It's just
and refill if that's possible.
Yeah, if you're not taking the whole thing as a unit, your laptop is your car. Yeah, you have to fucking fuel it with gas. It's just, I think it's dumb.
Yeah,
and everyone's just creaming their panties over this fuel cell technology, and they want it in their cars, and they want it in everything, and they want it in their laptops.
I mean. Yeah.
Fucking greens.
What happens in, you know, like, however many years we survive on this planet and we're running out of, you know, hydrogen because we've eaten it all up with fuel cells?
Well, you really can't run out of hydrogen. That's just not physically possible.
You could.
It is the most... one of the most easy elements to...
True.
...to extract and to produce from just about everything. It's, like, almost impossible not to make hydrogen. Anyway.
Fueling laptops is bad.
Yes. Don't gas up your laptop. Anyway, so the ASUS. I think that my hemming and hawing is better than your cheesy segues.
This is probably true. We could have that as a poll up on the website.
Next poll topic. Awesome. Okay. So ASUS is making a dual GPU card. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, they're not the first one to do it. Gigabyte had a dual NVIDIA 660 6600, whatever. And
it's in the show notes. Don't listen to us.
So Asus is making a dual 6800, and I'm wondering if this kind of negates the importance of Sly. Well, the problem there is that
Is this thing actually that much faster?
It's not that much faster, and it's not that much cheaper. But I don't know. I think that using two cards to do the job of one is bad, and I mean it didn't really work out very well for 3DFX. Of course, neither did having two GPUs on one board.
Well, what's really interesting is that Alienware thing where they were using PCI Express cards, mm-hmm. and they were having one card render the top half of the screen and the other card render the bottom half of the screen and then sending it to a mixer and then sending the mixer out to the monitor. It was so dumb.
Yes.
It's like, what happens if this one has to render more than the other and then it has to slow down the other one? And,
nasty.
Yeah.
But
I think the point I want to make is I don't care.
Okay.
Because My Riva TNT2 plays Unreal Tournament just fine.
And Quake.
And Quake World. And no one's developing any games that interest me ever that want me to upgrade my hardware to play them.
True. There is a little bit of obfuscation going on. There was one review site that took it upon themselves to go over kind of the hype bullshit that these companies were doing. Because they have 256 megs of RAM and in like the gigabyte one, and what was I thinking? And the thing is, it's divided in half per GPU, so it's not like both GPUs have access to both sets of 128 at the same time. It's per GPU, which is good for throughput, but it's kind of misleading, and the other thing is that I think I one of the reviews said, and I'm not entirely sure about it, but it was only designed to be used with 1 gigabyte board, and that its use on other boards
would be
limited and dumb.
I don't know.
Unless
they're going to double the performance, don't do it.
I wouldn't go that far. But in other news related to video, the Motion Picture Association of America are whores in suits, are pushing for legislation to enable the FCC to require broadcast flags and anything else they ever want. Because it's not specific to broadcast flags. It will give the FCC power to dictate what everyone will do.
And the FCC is kind of...
ugh.
Whores themselves out to anyone that has money.
Well, so is the legislature, which is why this may happen. And
this is so bad.
Yes, it is.
I mean, one thing I'm not too worried, because if they... their whole thinking that this DRM bit is so awesome,
and it's going to save everyone,
is so dumb. I mean, every implementation of the DRM thing has been cracked immediately. It's like it hits the market, and then the next day you have a fix for it,
because
it doesn't secure anything.
No.
It's based on the fact that your hardware will follow the rules.
Uh-huh.
So if you change your hardware not to follow the rules, guess what? It doesn't, and allows you to do anything you want. So
and even the software. I mean, you can mess the software up and get the same result.
Right. It's It's like people talk about in Vorbis Talk all the time. I mean, they laugh about DRM because they're like, oh, I'll just write my own media player that doesn't pay attention to it. I mean, it's just so dumb.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is, if you can listen to a piece of media, uh-huh. if you can play it and listen to it, you can copy it.
If you can listen to it or see it, you can copy it.
Right.
Period.
The end.
It's over.
And right.
All this is, like I've said before,
is a way to sue people.
Well, that, and it's a waste of time and money for manufacturers because they have to conform to these standards that don't mean anything effectively.
Right.
And they have to waste development time and they have to waste consumers' money to do stuff that doesn't work.
That doesn't work and no one cares, and it's just the excuse for the MPAA to go out and sue someone for modifying their hardware.
Yes.
Or reverse engineering. Oh, go no! On.
No! Not the reverse engineering!
This brings up another pet peeve of mine. When is the U.S. going to realize that they are not the only people in the world?
With what regard?
I mean, we look at reverse engineering as a bad thing in the U.S.
Well, technically,
our government has that persona about it that reverse engineering shouldn't be...
Europe is the same way.
Shouldn't be done. But here's the thing, uh-huh. is if you ignore the security flaws and you ignore everything, mm-hmm. and you basically tell your own people, no, you can't practice reverse engineering. You have no one good at reverse engineering. So other people in the world who don't have the same logic are good at reverse engineering and come over and owns you.
That's true. That is very true.
I mean, it's like just because one piece of software is illegal in the U.S., like DVD decryptors are illegal to distribute in the U.S. But you can go out online right now and download dvddecryptor.exe and
get them on a t-shirt, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. And no one... just because it's illegal in your country doesn't mean that it isn't in another country, yeah. and it's dumb.
It is.
And you're constantly getting owns because of it. Fix the problems where the problems are at the core.
Yes.
And forget about it.
Okay. Next up.
End rant.
In the networking genre.
Networking.
I saw this thing on Gizmodo, which is a super secret network accelerator, which was heard about in non-disclosed locations from undisclosed people from... It's super secret.
Basically, this is cool because all those people that don't know how to set up a OpenBSD firewall mm-hmm. could just put this in line and kind of have their own funky thing.
It's a quality of service thing which categorizes content and organizes it into streams and...
Basically, it looks like it has like a database of ports and what those ports are, and then prioritizes real-time things over things that can be delayed, such as a download or something, mm-hmm. versus like voice over IP that has to be real-time.
Yeah, or gaming.
Or gaming.
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's a link in the show notes. People should
check
it out.
It's cool. If you want it now, just go learn Unix and download OpenBSD and set up your own an app device on a computer because it'll work just as good if not better.
But the more interesting thing in networking, interesting in a completely comical sort of way, is that there's this company which is claiming that it will offer broadband over natural gas lines.
Whoa.
And you know, this is as bad as the whole power line.
Yeah, broadband over power
idea.
Which messed with the hams, and the hams got angry.
Uh-huh. The thing is, some utilities were just not meant to carry data.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is they're going to use some kind of wireless ultra-wideband through the gas pipeline as like a waveguide kind of thing. And it's supposed to get 10 gigabits per second.
What happens...
Give me a break.
What happens if their wave band thing heats up the pipe?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we use microwaves to something that is explosive.
That
we are so
awesome.
Smart.
Yeah, this is just dumb, and I don't think the technology even really exists. I think that they're... This is...
Well, I can imagine them inventing the technology. I would question on how well it would work.
I don't think it exists, and I think that they're just blowing this idea around to scam venture capital or something. I don't know.
I don't know. But I hate this shit. Why is the industry always looking for excuses for broadband? It's like they don't want to do it the right way. It's
just
like
put fiber in, for Christ's sake, put the fiber in.
In most cases, as you found out, last week, that the fiber is everywhere. Just tap into the lines.
Turn it on.
Start using it.
Turn it on. Cockbites. It's like, oh, we're gonna totally deliver broadband through your toilet. You know, you just put this device in your toilet, and we'll send electrical impulses through your goddamn sewer lines.
Why?
It's dumb. Sure.
I don't know why they keep looking for ways to get out of what they should do.
They want flushing buffers to have a whole new meaning.
Yeah. Next.
Yeah, okay, so...
Turtle Beach is putting out...
headphones with 5.1 surround sound in them.
Why?
Called the Ear Force. Scramble the Ear Force. you wanted to talk about how cheap 5.1 things are sucky?
Yes. From an audiophile standpoint, it's so frustrating because people keep releasing these 5.1 headphone things, and they sound like ass. Just ass. And I can tell you it comes from Turtle Beach, so it probably sounds like ass. I mean, why? Why doesn't Sennheiser release a 5.1 thing?
There's a reason why Turtle Beach is not number one in the market.
Yeah. Come on. Just get good headphones. Go buy some Grotto Labs or Sennheisers and be happy.
Well,
I mean,
you might be happy or you might just be broke. But anyway... On the other side of the audio quality front, there recently was released a player of
LPs
vinyl LPs that
I suppose LPs is misleading because this thing played everything, including 78s, which aren't even vinyl.
It plays discs with grooves in them.
Yeah, it plays analog discs.
But it does not use a diamond head thing.
It doesn't use the copper.
Yeah.
To read the stuff.
It uses lasers.
Yeah.
Ultra lasers.
I really wish I had one of these things to compare it to the Ares 2 turntable I have at work with the super expensive Grotto Labs cartridge and everything. Because I'm kind of curious from, an audiophile standpoint again.
Yeah.
Not that I am one or anything.
Yeah, right. Well, at 17,000 to 19,000.
Yeah,
least,
I don't think I'll
they
be
had better
hearing
be
this.
Good.
Hearing this anytime soon. I think this is more... It could get better. I'll bet anything that this is probably not that great at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
How could it cost that much and not be great?
Because it's new, and it's the only thing on the market. And they'll sell it to people that have way too much money on their hands and are audiophiles.
Rich bitches that still love their records.
Yeah. Well, they sound better.
Yeah.
They do.
I'm sure.
As long as you're playing them back on the right equipment, they do sound better.
In other audio news, Bill Gates did some interview wherein he talked about cell phones and portable media players merging.
You didn't silence your cell phone, you whore.
it's actually my boss calling me, but I'm going to ignore him. He can leave a message. Anyway, what was I thinking about?
Bill Gates is yet right again about something that's completely stupid.
I don't think so. I mean, everyone carries cell phones, and increasingly everyone carries a portable media player. They really can be the same size.
Yeah.
It's better than the PDA cell phone idea thing. I don't think that's kind of gay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think before this becomes awesome, cell phone software has to become way more multitasking and awesome.
Yeah.
Because Symbian OS barely pushes the limit on what would be possible with this. And they also have to get, you know, hard drives more commonly in cell phones. Mm-hmm. And then the output for headphones, you know, stereo on your cell phone. Oh my god.
Oh no.
Stereo. The horror. I mean, which brings me to another thing with the N-gauges.
Uh-huh.
Nokia releases the stupidest thing ever called the N-Gage, where you talk into it like a taco, uh-huh. but it has stereo output,
uh-huh.
so you can hook like headphones into it. Then they release the N-Gage QD, and they take away the stereo output.
But
they remove it.
You don't have to hold it like a taco anymore.
But you don't have to hold it like a taco anymore. But it doesn't have stereo output. I mean, what the fuck?
It's all about fucking everything up.
Anyway, yeah. But this, yeah.
The interesting thing is, you know, iPod was rumored to have a cell phone, you know, form, and it hasn't materialized.
Oh boy.
And it's
iPhone.
The interesting thing is that once iPod's popularity eventually goes away, which it absolutely has to do, there is no way that anything can remain hip forever. What is going to happen to Apple? I mean, are they going to lose their momentum? Because the momentum that they had is based entirely on...
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because Longhorn is going to be released.
Oh, fuck.
I think right now, Apple's gaining a lot of popularity due to Microsoft sucking ass. And that God, the man. Fact that their operating system really isn't that horrible anymore. And it isn't yes, that it expensive.
It is that horrible, and it is that expensive.
It's not as... it's about the same price as Windows now.
But the thing is that...
Software for it is about the same price as Windows.
Well, software maybe, but there's still less software. The operating system costs effectively less on the x86 side because the x86 hardware is cheaper.
Well, and, this is true.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely agree with that aspect of it.
So, blah, 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 it's still competitive, and I don't know. I think that perhaps this wasn't a good tangent to include.
What?
I think perhaps this wasn't a good tangent to include.
Yeah, I mean...
Tangent action.
Apple, iPhone, that would be horrible. What I don't get about the iPod is... It isn't feature rich.
No.
And it's almost twice as expensive as players that are feature rich.
Yeah. But it's hip.
But it's smooth and shiny.
It's totally.
And it has horrible battery life.
But it makes you popular.
You'll be one of what really irritates me is it's becoming like how rollerblades were.
Oh.
And how everyone used to call inline skates rollerblades because that was the main company that produced
them. Oh no!
Because I have my iRiver and you know it's a media player and even in my own family I had to go on this road trip with them for Mother's Day and everyone kept calling it an iPod.
Oh god no!
And it was like it's not iPod.
That is so bad. Oh no!
And of course my name doesn't. Help anything. It's iRiver, so
yeah, I know.
It starts with I, but it was really confusing to them for me to call it anything other than an iPod. And,
oh, God. My brain hurts now. I wish you had not brought my iPod.
Next, speaking of iPods.
oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. We go down to that one.
Yeah. I'd introduce.
You made my head hurt. Now I can't. Now I can't think about the topics. Okay. Yeah. So, in Australia, some dumb guy put his iPod through his washing machine. And he thought to himself, I guess I'll turn it on to see if it still works. It didn't turn on, so he thought to himself further, I guess I'll take a screwdriver to it and take it apart. So he takes the cover apart, and kaboom! The thing blows up in his face and releases toxic gas everywhere, and he totally gets owned and has to go to the hospital. And I'm thinking, you know what, Apple? You are getting sued.
Well, they're so used to getting sued anyway.
Yeah.
The whole Tiger thing. Have you been following that?
No, I haven't, because I hate Apple, and it's software.
But someone, Tiger Direct sued them because their new operating
system... Tiger Direct?
Sued them because their new operating system is labeled Tiger.
That's awesome.
And furthermore, what was more funny is this guy that is, like, has some relation to the sports team that is called the Tigers, that they've been calling themselves the Tigers for, like, over 100 years or something, gave Steve Jobs the permission to use that as a thing. And
that's dumb.
But anyway, a court threw it out, thankfully, because that's just dumb.
I don't know.
No one cares.
I like seeing Apple get sued. I want them to get sued more, especially about iPods.
Yeah.
Anyway, MISC architecture is going to change everything.
What's really funny is they're even getting owned with the iPhoto pod, whatever. Is it called iPhoto?
Yeah.
It's the iPods that have the color screen.
Yes. What about them?
Well, they don't play video. And iRiver was like, woot, ours plays video. Ours supports
owned.
Xvid.
Owned.
And yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So if you want a colored screen that plays video as well as looks at your photos, go buy iRiver.
Yeah.
And it has like twice the battery length too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you won't be a total whore buying Apple like everyone else.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the miscellaneous category, Star Wars is projected to do more than $0.628 billion U.S. in damage to the economy on its opening day. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up as sort of a segue is, all right, it's over, okay? Star Wars is over.
Maybe.
Do you get that, people?
They haven't stopped with the marketing and the McDonald's toys.
on that front, have you seen? The marketing is like a fucking torrent for this movie. Burger King is using it. McDonald's is using it. There was another one.
It's worse than Lord of the Rings.
It is worse. It's so much worse than everything. It's like we cannot watch a commercial without Darth Vader or Yoda.
M&M's.
M&M's. Pepsi. All these huge names are.
By the way, Erica is totally pissed off that dark M&M's are not out yet. She's been like hunting the grocery stores for dark M&M's because she likes dark chocolate. So
I see. That I wouldn't go to M&M's for my dark chocolate. I mean, M&M's are cheap and dumb, and you put your microphone. I'm not. I almost said Microsoft. Oh my god. Of course I've seen these before.
Speaking of Tiger, I'm getting out my Tiger cloth because I've spit on my monitor, so I want to clean that off.
Anyway. However, you know, of all these, though, the Burger King one is funny.
I don't watch TV that much anymore, so you'll have to explain this to me.
So, have you seen at least one of the new Burger King commercials with
no.
their king mascot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they have
that thing's annoying.
I kind of like it. But that's just me. That's more because it weirds out my girlfriend. So I'm like, ooh. It weirds her out. It therefore is great. But yeah, the Darth Vader walks up to Burger King's king mascot guy. In his, you know, mask. The kings. Both of them have masks, and Darth Vader does his breathing thing, and the king breathes really hard, and that's like all they do for the entire commercial.
Wow.
Which is cool.
That's pretty sad.
I don't care. It was the only one that I thought was actually funny.
Yeah. I like, speaking of this, I like Penny Arcade's comic.
Which one?
The one where he rants about midichlorians in M&M's.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. But I think I would like to move on to your last point here in this.
I was trying to get to that, and then you're like, oh, I'm gonna get my tiger claw. spit on my screen. Anyway, yeah, so the Star Wars is over. Star Trek is in hibernation, according to Paramount. Thank God.
Yeah.
They finally figured out that it was time to put it to bed, at least for a while. Isaac Asimov is dead, Roddenberry is dead, Clark is retired, and Lucas has to find something else to do.
Yeah.
So what with basically the pillars of science fiction out of commission,
visual TV things.
Asimov was an author, Clark is an author.
Yeah.
Clark did both because he, you know, made 2001 with Kubrick.
I mean, I don't know. I think the as far as literature goes, sci-fi books are still being produced in mass quantity.
Well, I know that, but it's still a quality thing, though. I mean, I think I look at
read Richard K. Morgan.
Well, I mean, there's still good authors out there.
Altered Carbon series is awesome.
Yes.
But
I mean, Greg Bear is good, and
yeah, I think I'm more worried about
TV and movies
because there are basically movie series.
Yeah,
are like a novelty anymore.
When you look at
they're not done unless they're absolutely have to be done.
I think that you're kind of wrong there.
Why?
This whole movie sequel thing is a major problem for Hollywood and so forth. Oh, this was a good movie. Let's make another one and another one and another one. I don't think that's a problem. I think that quality is a problem.
Yeah.
I think quality is a problem whether you're making a series of movies or whether you're making one. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is true of TV. I mean, you look at TV, what good is there good sci-fi out there right now? I mean, Stargate is mediocre. Thank God Andromeda is over. That was god awful.
You know, Nick liked Andromeda.
Oh God. Fucking Hercules in space.
Yeah.
It was just all eye candy. Let's watch Brandy Ledford and Lexa Doig's cleavage for an hour.
Yeah. I mean pop sci-fi is out there.
Uh-huh.
It's out there for the masses to watch. Great. But where is, and I'd like to coin this term,
okay,
half-inch thick glass sci-fi, referring to, you know, the glass on the stereotypical nerd's glasses.
Yeah. Where there's an entire detailed universe of governments with the Constitution.
Even if you don't see them in half the episodes, it's there running in the background.
Yes. What happened to that? Because that was totally awesome. That was what made Star Trek so awesome.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, I hear Babylon 5 is good too, although I've never watched it.
I've watched some, and some people want the guy who created Babylon 5, whose name I'm not remembering at the moment, to take over Star Trek, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm not really disappointed.
Star Trek kind of ended for me with Next Generation.
Yeah.
I liked the original series, and I know this goes against you, but I really love the Next Generation series. But, you know,
I like them both, even if I like the original better.
Right.
I actually like the movies the
and
best.
And then Deep Space Nine was kind of like the soap opera of Star Trek.
Gay.
It was kind of dumb. But it was watchable,
yes,
at least.
Yes, you could watch Deep Space Nine. You could even watch Voyager, some of the later ones.
Yeah.
But Enterprise, I refuse to watch Enterprise on principle. I mean, that was just designed to give Rick Berman and whatnot the ability to change history. And I'm like, fuck you people, I'm not watching this shit. History is history. You cannot make a show that goes back in time just to change things. I mean, I could understand if they made a show back in time to talk about actual historical events, because that's the whole cool thing about the Star Trek universe. There are tons of historical events. I mean, I somewhere around here I have the chronology, and it's like there's this whole universe between, you know, the present day and the beginning of the original series, and you can make episodes about things they talked about.
We really need more Tolkien's in this world. I mean, even if you don't like Tolkien, what I mean by that is type of people that create universes for their storylines.
Universe creation is talking
with languages and everything.
Another cool aspect about Star Trek, which I didn't like in Star Wars. Star Wars, ooh, let's put a bunch of syllables together and call it a language. In Star Trek,
George Lucas is a lazy ass.
Yeah, I know. Klingon was a real language. Vulcan was a real language.
Yes.
What else was kind of real, but I don't remember. Anyway, people need to do that.
Yeah.
What I would like to see, as kind of like, it's probably not a good first step because it's sort of just kind of animating the corpse rather than, you know, finding a successor. But I would like to see a very good, true-to-the-book rendition of the Foundation series that Asimov wrote. Because that would be awesome.
But no one can make renditions of things anymore anyway.
I know, because...
No one's...
I mean, they made fucking iRobot. I mean, I want to strangle those bitches for...
Yes.
It's like the way Maddox portrayed it. This is iRobot, and it's Will Smith peeing on Isaac Asimov's grave.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the book at all, and that's why I'm afraid to see Foundation made into a movie, because I know they'll do the same thing.
All these directors seem to think that, we have to change things to make it into a movie. We can't actually take the book and make it into the movie directly. It's like so many of these awesome books are scripts just as you read them. You just redesign them in script format and it's there.
Yes. Just beat people up.
Yeah. And if it takes 5 movies to do it, use 5 movies.
Yes. What are you in a fucking hurry? It just means more money for you.
Right. look at this. Uh-huh. No one has lost money from making a bunch of movies that are really good renditions.
Yes.
People have lost money from making one movie that should have been more and screwing up the history of what it was. Look at Catwoman.
Oh, God.
Catwoman would have sold out, totally been awesome, if they just followed the storyline of Catwoman from Marvel.
Yes. But no.
But no.
They can't do that.
They can't do that.
Because that would be too cool.
Yeah.
And they have to... Yeah, Beetle Horse. Anyway.
I think we've talked this into the ground.
I guess. Yeah. So, in completely unrelated news, unless you're thinking about science fiction fashion, there is now a belt buckle, which is a scrolling LED.
Well, I saw this coming.
Thing. I
mean, you
guess
saw the
I
Think
did.
Geek things that
With
had
badges.
The badges. So, I mean, just put it on whatever and.
Yeah.
But I can see this going into earrings, too, making them smaller and dangling with scrolling stuff on your ears.
What's worse is think about, like persistence of vision, like rings or bracelets or something.
Yeah.
And people waving their hands around just to display text.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Like you could, have a bracelet and be like, fuck you. Waving your hand back and forth to spell out fuck you while you're giving someone the finger.
That would be totally awesome. Man, that'd be weird.
Yeah.
But I can see that happening. But I can see really trashy, you know, Paris Hilton wannabe bitches going after these things. But it's like weird somehow to put it on your belt.
I don't get the functionality of it really.
It's,
I mean,
what are you gonna say?
Yeah.
I
mean, think of what people say now just in chat rooms and shit.
Oh,
and
God.
If they could display that on their belt.
Oh, God, ASL, your belt.
Yeah.
Hi, I am 18F.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Nerd. Oh, God.
Anyway.
Okay, screw that.
Something more important and more awesome.
Internet Explorer's market share has gone below 90%.
This is totally kick-ass.
Due to Firefox.
Yeah.
And additionally, IBM has officially started supporting Firefox internally.
Because so Firefox owns ass.
You can download it internally and get help desk support, although I don't know why you'd need it, internally at IBM for Firefox.
Yeah.
Which...
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Because for so long, I mean, people used to make web pages, and I still have this problem with the web developer at my work, is they make web pages, they look at it in IE, and they go, oh, it displays in IE, nothing else matters, no one else uses anything else. Well, now people use something else, damn it.
Oh, God.
So look at it in something else.
It's going to become the HTML sheriff that's going to clean up this town.
Because with Internet Explorer, you can be so sloppy with your HTML.
Look at my system. I'm like half and half now.
I have
like five Firefox windows and four IE windows. I just find IE to be faster and better for general things, but Firefox with the tab browsing is really great for going through galleries of images and shit. So I use it for DeviantArt and porn.
Yeah. The tab browsing thing is awesome, even if Emmett Plant doesn't use it.
But here's the thing, though. IE7 or whatever.
We'll have tab browsing. Finally, it's funny because Internet Explorer is being forced to catch up with the rest of the world.
True, but if Internet Explorer stays faster, I might just ditch Firefox again, because if it has the tab browsing, what do I need Firefox for?
Because Firefox has better pop-up ad blocking than Internet Explorer does. I don't know,
I've seen it's pretty much the same.
I've seen stuff that Internet Explorer misses. Man. Firefox is like, and also Firefox is also like more actively developed,
true,
which makes it better as well. I mean, you might wait years for another release of IE if something's wrong with it, and Firefox is like, boom, here's the update.
True enough, I will give you that. We have run for an hour. And we are not talking about the Xbox 360, which I'm sure would be a very fruitful field to plow or something, but...
Oh, come on. We can go an hour and a half.
Well, but it's the right size now. And we can talk about the XP... I almost call it the XP 360. That's sort of effectively what it is.
Yeah.
The Xbox 360 is too large a subject to.
What I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
Wireless controllers. Why are they not Bluetooth? You whores at Microsoft. you bastard whores. Why are they not Bluetooth? you could have even done cheap and used it for like networking bullshit too, if you wanted to. And
yeah,
why? But that's my main point. And I'm
sure
they're
whores.
I'll complain about this later as well. Yeah.
Did someone say my hands are the size of a gorilla's? Please make a controller for me.
They are smaller. The controllers look a bit smaller. Look more sleek.
I just wanted to,
they're silver.
To say that about controllers.
Silver.
Because of NerdShoe.
Yeah. NerdShoe is awesome.
We should, I don't know, host that on the site somewhere.
Yeah. But anyway, hopefully we'll have like a donation link up on our website. So
eventually,
if you would like to pay us, that would be awesome. I mean, I know someone out there is listening and paid Leo Laporte for his stupid podcast.
Seriously.
Give us your money. Give us your $2 a month.
Don't.
And we'll totally send you a box of crap too.
Leo Laporte is such a bastard. I hate that guy. I hated him from the moment I laid eyes on him. He thinks he knows so much. Anyway,
we really should have a way of standardized closing this show, because we always hit the end. And
they're like, we're at the end of the show. Let's just talk about random shit. Like, 12 Girls Band is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to pimp them.
Okay, well, I totally have given you the opportunity.
A music CD recommendation of this week. If you like, you know, Enigma or Chinese music or Delirium at all, go buy the 12 Girls Band, one of their CDs. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they're from China.
I like everything Chinese.
Yeah. They're awesome. So, website pimping.
I was blowing up a Ziploc bag. I don't know why. It's m37.org, yo.
Yeah, go there.
And it will totally have news about downloads
and stuff. And it has a link in the top right-hand corner in case you're blind.
The page.
So,
there's like at least half a dozen links to the page on there and the news. And
And the posts. And if you can't find the Hardware Show page, you're blind.
Retarded. Then you shouldn't be able to find it. Anyway,
we're done.
Yeah. Oh, and get in the IRC channel.
Yeah, the IRC channel's awesome.
IRC is awesome for everything.
Yeah.
Unless you're using XChat version 2, in which case, it's not.
Because XChat, you have to pay for it. It's
getting dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, use Epic 4. Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
God, we're lame. So, we will see you next week with a whole nother list of topics. And that I'm being really generic and dumb.
No one cares about. But you do.
Yeah.
God. Music now.
Cue the music. Say goodnight, Shaman.
Goodnight.
Bye.
Bye.